Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, second date update. Who are we talking to first here, Jeff?
Chad.
And again, second date update generally, this usually happens the other way around, where the woman thinks that the date went great.
Yeah.
And can't figure out why he's not calling her back. But it's a little different here today because it's Chad. Hey, Chad.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you this morning?
I'm all right.
Okay, usually the rules of engagement are this. You know, you'll tell us about what happened between you and whatever her name is. We'll try to kind of predict and figure out exactly what went wrong before we even call her. And then we'll get her on, and we will try to strong-arm her into complete honesty with you. So if nothing else, at least you can walk out of here with some closure on the whole thing, you know?
Oh, right on.
All right, so what happened?
Well, I was divorced a couple of years ago, about a year and a half. And my friends have been trying to set me up with all sorts of people, and lately they've been talking about this woman, Charlie. And there was a party. It was 2 weeks ago, the weekend before Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
on Saturday night. And she was there, and I got a chance to meet her, and we totally hit it off. And it was we talked all night, and we you know, had a couple drinks, and you know, we had a lot to talk about. It was really nice. We even kissed a little bit at the end of the night, and we had a great time. But we went home separately. But I asked her out for the next day. So on Sunday, we met at, like, I think it was like 4:30 over at Houston's.
Uh-huh.
And just had a couple of drinks, and then and like some appetizers. Went over to Phipps Plaza and caught a movie. And then we ended up back at my place, which we had a cocktail and just hung out, and we kissed a little bit more, but nothing totally happened. But it was a really nice night, and it got really late, and she didn't want to sleep with me, so I was like, that's cool, you can stay here.
So you guys met on Saturday and she spent the night on Sunday?
Yeah, but we didn't sleep in the same bed.
Okay.
She slept on the couch and I slept in the bed, and everything was cool. She had to work the next morning, and so she took off at like, I don't know, 5:30 or 6, and went back to her place to change and everything. And since then, I called twice, but she never called me back, and I don't know why. Because, I don't know, it really did go perfectly.
Everything seemed to click, and conversation was fine, and I'm sure you're looking back at this date, and you're going over every minute, and you can't figure out where it went wrong.
Exactly. I mean, we have mutual friends and everything, you know. We're both into the same kinds of music, and, you know, I mean, it just was, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but she won't call me back, and I don't want to keep calling, you know, because I don't want to. I'm not the stalker type, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it seems like a lot of times when we do this sort of thing or we talk about dating, girls get freaked out by guys' places, like maybe something was weird about your place. But if she spent the night there, then obviously something wasn't that weird about it.
Is there anything in that living room or in that area near where she slept that would incriminate you of something ugly?
I mean, no. I mean, I just moved, so it's like I got rid of everything. I mean, I basically like got rid of my whole life, and like there's a television, a DVD player. Obviously, I thought that maybe she'd come back with me. So I mean, I'd hoped anyway. And of course, I cleaned. You know, I Swiffered and mopped and the whole thing. You know?
You can't believe how clean we will make an apartment look, even though it's not. But if you open up that one door where we've thrown all that crap, you're gonna call us out.
Right.
Well, that's just it. I just moved, so I got rid of all that crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just garbage bags full of stuff that I got rid of. So I mean, I can't imagine what would have happened. I mean, I really can't, that she snooped or anything. And I don't I don't think I snore. I don't know. But, you know, there was only like 2 hours of sleeping anyway. We talked way into the night, so.
All right, Craig has a theory. Hey, Craig, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Yes, sir. I got one question. Does she know that you like her?
I think so. I mean,
and they went out the next day after the party and spent the whole day and night together. So, yeah, I would think so.
And then so you made her sleep on the couch as opposed to giving up the bed.
I just kind of offered the couch. I mean, she was already, like, kind of passed out there.
I don't think that's a big deal because I would not want to sleep in a guy's bed sheets that I didn't know very well.
I'd rather sleep
on the couch.
Oh, yeah?
If I was, you know, too tipsy to drive home or whatever and was going to spend the night on the couch, that would be the choice rather than, unless you got clean sheets, I don't want to be in your bed.
So that doesn't make any sense. Jeff has gotten Charlie on with us, and I do believe she knows why she's on. Hey, Charlie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You're on the radio now on all the hits Q100.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Charlie, we have Chad on the phone with us.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi.
And he said he's been trying to get in touch with you for a while now, but you haven't been returning his phone calls. And we do a little thing here called Second Date Update, where we're hoping that you'll come completely clean with them and be honest on why there hasn't been a second date. And what
on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. God, okay.
I guess Jeff didn't prepare.
No, not so well.
Okay.
Did you just wake up?
Well, I'm just a little surprised to do this on, like, radio. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Chad? This is the part where you say you'd rather her be honest and have closure on the whole thing than be left in the dark, and you talk her into telling us on the radio.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm not sure. I mean, I thought we hit it off great.
We did.
And I don't know, we had a great night, and then since you left for work, I never heard from you, and I'd love to know why.
It's okay to be totally honest.
I thought we did hit it off great, and I had a total fun time, and it was, I just felt like, you know, when we were back at your place and stuff, and I crashed, and I just kind of thought, like, you didn't even offer that I could, you didn't even offer up, like, your bed. Like, I don't know, I'm used to, if I have guests, I always give up my bed for a guest. It's like, I just was born and raised that way. My mother's always done it. Anytime any of her girlfriends were over and slept over, I had to give them my bed. It's just, so I just thought that was sort of a little rude, and I was kind of put off by that.
We had a caller.
You didn't even ask me.
When we had Chad on just a couple of minutes ago, we had a caller on that tried to predict on what happened, and he said the same thing.
That surprises me, though.
Yeah, me too. Jen and I disagreed with the caller because we thought it was more of him being a gentleman doing that.
Were you just upset that he never offered?
See, I don't think that is being a gentleman. I think it's kind of like just sticking me on the couch.
You would have rather slept in his sheets, his dirty sheets?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they were dirty, but I would rather have had him offer. Because to me, that's the bed. That's like where you put your guests.
I agree. I agree with her 100%. At least you make the offer. Even if it grosses you out as a woman, as a guy, I think it's only polite to say, look, you take what is supposed to be the more comfortable of the two situations.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. So it's not that he invited you into his bed with him in it. What you're saying is you would have preferred him to sleep on the couch and you in the bed?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was confused.
Well,
at least give me the option.
Yeah, I understand that. Because if it was said that, look, you guys weren't going to sleep together that night, but you were going to be in the house, then I think, Chad, you've got the polite thing to do is offer up, like I said, what is supposed to be the most comfortable of the situations, and that should be the bed.
Right.
Unless you're a germaphobe, like Jen Hobby, and you won't take it.
I don't know why, but that just grosses me out. Like, if he was like, you know, offering the bed and then said he would change the sheets into like a new set of sheets, then maybe that's a different story. But I'm not getting in some dude's bed.
But is it the offer? Let's forget about it. Let's say
he's really clean though. Like his apartment is really clean.
It was the offer that's bothering you.
It's just the offer.
Okay.
Like I don't know. Maybe that's just how I was raised. But
well, Charlie, what does that say about Chad? Like, because obviously it turned you off so much that you didn't return his calls. Like, what do you think that says about him?
I just thought it was impolite, and I just thought, You know how you meet people and they're just sort of like out for themselves first? And that's, I mean, maybe there were other hints throughout the night. That
when I was dating, here's what I looked at on that first date. It's never going to get better between the two of you than right. it is on those first couple of dates.
If that's your best behavior.
That's your best behavior. Right. So, and you're doing anything you can to A, make a good impression, and B, make that person as comfortable as possible. And mm-hmm. if the thought process there isn't that he was thinking, hey, I need to make her as comfortable as possible, then maybe there's a bigger problem there.
And there was one more thing, too.
Right. You were talking about other signs that he may be out for himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we went to Houston's, which was great and everything, I just, you know, I kind of felt bad. He wanted to pay the whole bill, I didn't feel bad, but I, you know, I know sometimes it could be a little awkward. It's like our first real dinner and, you know, so I said, well, can I pay the tip? And he let me, and I don't like that.
So you offered, but he should have turned you down?
He should have been like, no, are you crazy?
You had me up until then.
Yeah, because my thing is, like, I don't know if I would have been as critical about the couch thing, because I think I would have been more impressed that he brought me to his house and still allowed me to feel safe, because I feel like if a guy was only up for himself, like, he would have tried his best to have you in the bed with him and then, or kick you out. You know what I'm saying? And then now you offered to do the tip, and because he didn't turn you down, even though he bought dinner... I feel like you're holding him up to an impossible standard.
I don't think she is. I really don't. I mean, I would have handled it that way. If you would have offered the tip, I would have said there's not a chance. No
right.
way I would have done that. However, the fact that you offered makes it okay for him to say, okay, then go ahead and leave the tip. I don't think there's anything wrong with that part of the equation, but the part of him letting you sleep on the couch without even offering, I think, says something.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Chad?
I mean, the tip bit, I mean, I've actually had a problem the other way. When I've refused that I must pay the whole bill, that they're like, oh, what are you trying to control things here? You know, and it's totally backfired.
You can't win.
These mixed messages.
You can't win on that one. It just depends on person to person, really.
Some women want chivalry. Other women think that you're insulting them.
Right. What, you don't think I can make money? You know, right. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Hold on one sec, y'all. Burt Show listener, Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I totally agree. I'm not trying to make him feel bad, but I do agree about he probably should have just offered the bed and told her that he would sleep on the couch. That's what I would have preferred.
Just the offer is really what's bothering you here, right, Charlie?
Yeah.
That you never even got the offer. He never even thought about it.
He just kind of, like, started bringing out pillows and a blanket. And it was like, okay.
That's like something I would do to one of my guy friends.
You know, like, that's what it felt like.
You make it comfortable for your guy friend on the couch, but if it's a woman, you would give her what is going to be the more comfortable of the situations.
I wasn't even, like, good enough in maybe.
Can I say my perspective on
sure,
this?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was kind of assuming that I was not going to, you know, try to get with you that night. And I would, and if by offering you the bed, maybe you would think that I was pushing the limit of, you know, sexual contact.
But you wouldn't be in the bed.
Right, but, you know, sometimes if I say, here, come in the bed, that means that maybe I'm going to end up being in there, too, because I'll try to kiss you more, and then we'll be in the bed. Like, let's move this to the bedroom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't, like, do that. I mean, otherwise, I would have loved to have slept in the bed with you, or I wouldn't have mind offering you the bed, but it seemed like things were going well, and I didn't want to push it.
Knowing that, Charlie, would you go out with Chad again?
Yeah, I think I would.
Chad, do you even want to go out with Charlie again?
Oh.
I mean, sure. I mean, if we've had this awkward radio moment, but
hadn't it been fun?
I mean, I thought we had a nice time together, and that's more important than anything, you know.
Everybody's got signs, though. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, everybody has a sign. Like, I forget what movie it was. That the sign was that if the guy doesn't open your door for you, then he's probably not a guy you want to continue going out with.
A Bronx Tale.
Is it a Bronx Tale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and there's all kinds of signs that, you know, them opening doors and things like that. But still, I don't know. It seems to me that she's a little bit high maintenance.
Hey, Charlie, can we get some closure here? Would you go out again with Chad, or is this thing over?
I would, because I actually just, like, that's just how I am. I just, see something, I go, eh, done. But now that I hear him explain it, it makes sense to me. And I probably shouldn't have cut him off so quickly. That's just kind of how I am.
Chad, did you get what you wanted out of this?
Sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just wondering why she wasn't calling, but I thought maybe she left on a vacation or I didn't know, you know.
Are you kind of turned off by the way she handled the whole thing? Like, I mean, you've been calling and calling and calling, she hadn't called you back?
Well, I understand that this sort of thing happens. I mean, remember, I've been married and divorced. So, I feel like I've been around, the block. And I understand that sometimes people have their things, you know. So I just would rather them be on the table and honest and direct. And that if I say something like, you know, if you say I'll get the tip, just mean that I want to get the tip, as opposed to because I was going to pay the whole thing.
We're so encrypted.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
That's the best. But at least if we could start out that way before we, yeah. You know, everybody starts, you know, throwing signs and stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand because, I mean, I've done it in the past myself, you know. So, you know, had these things. And Ben, Charlie, I've been like you before, you know, where it's like one thing happens and, you know, whether they're a smoker or, you know, or I go to their house and it's dirty or, like, you know, just there's always, like, a deal breaker and I totally shut down, you know.
Hey, y'all, we have to take off. We got to roll because Raven Simone just came in.
Okay.
So, does that mean you're going to start taking his phone calls again here, Charlie?
I will.
Very good.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Chad, you made the call now?
Yeah, definitely.
It was worth the awkward radio moment.
Exactly.
All right, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
That may be the first time we've ever done it where it's worked out to where both parties are like, yeah, let's go out again.
Yeah.
In 3 years.
Actually turned into a second date.
You still don't feel comfortable with it, though. You think she's too high maintenance?
Beware Chad. That's all I got to say. Because
really?
He's wanting total honesty now, like as long as we have it on the table. And people don't change.
Yeah, we don't want honesty.
People don't change. Charlie's going to be the same way she was over that weekend. She's not going to change just because I don't know.
Hey, The Burt Show.
I want us to spend a second dissecting one social phenomenon that has been passed down from generation to generation that I saw come to a head in a fight the other day.
You saw a fight?
I saw a fight the other day.
Okay.
A fist fight?
It was a fist fight, a wrestling fight.
Awesome.
Okay?
I haven't seen a fight in years, I don't think.
This appeared to me to be between brothers.
Whoa.
I'm at the gym working out, and I'm on the treadmill, and the way my gym is set up, it's like on the second story, and it's set up in a big like strip mall. There's a Kroger right there, and there's a big parking lot. So as I'm working out on the treadmill, I'm looking out and kind of gazing off and seeing what's going on in the parking lot. And I notice one mom who appears to be in her, I don't know, mid-40s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that she's got like two teenage boys with her. And they're all getting ready to get into their big Tahoe or Suburban or whatever it is, right? So mom goes into the car and closes the door. And both kids go on their side of the car and immediately start fighting about who is going to get the front seat.
Shotgun!
You could almost see them both say shotgun, yes. All right? And they couldn't come to a conclusion on it to the point where they started pushing each other and wrestling with each other in the parking lot of the Kroger.
And how old are these people?
He could have been anywhere from 12 to 15 years old.
Okay.
And they were really starting to go at it over that front seat.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember having the same feel, like all the way, I still have it. Like if there are three guys going out, and I never want to be the guy in the back seat. I want to be the guy in the coveted passenger spot. And I want to know what's so great about that seat that we would fight over it.
It's almost like you're the favorite. You're the favorite friend. Like you're next to the driver, so you're important. The sucky friends get in the back seat.
It is. It's almost like it's like a royalty position. It's like there's the president, the vice president, and then there's the secretary of arms or whatever. Yeah, the back seat, you have to lean forward to get in on the conversation. You have no control over the radio.
The radio is always so much louder in the back seat, so you can't even like hear yourself talk.
You don't get the air conditioning sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
You're like the navigator. That's what I always was. My buddy Scott Griever, he had the car.
I was the navigator, so I controlled the radio, the equalizer, the AC. It was all about the front seat. Back seat. The only thing in the back seat was like, eh, throw me a bag of potato chips, you.
God, but you act like you're back there all by, like it's 4 miles that you're away from your friends. I mean, they're within earshot. You could get in on the conversation. The view is pretty much the same from the back seat as it is the front passenger side seat.
But then you try to be the good friend. Like, oh, no, you get in the front seat. No, you get in the front seat. And then, but if I offer somebody the front seat and they take it, then I'm standing there dumbfounded like, well, you're not supposed to take it.
Producer Tracy just sent me an instant message and said that 2 weeks ago she was out with her mom and her sister, and her and her 21-year-old sister got in a shoving match to ride in the front seat.
It never goes away.
I had a friend in college who would lie and say that she would get car sick to everybody so that she never had to go in the back seat. That was always her excuse. Well, you know, I got to ride up front because I get really car sick in the back. She didn't get car sick. She just wanted the passenger seat.
See, now, I almost have like a handicap sticker because being so tall, everybody just assumes that I need to get in the front seat. So they give it up to me anyway, which is pretty cool anyway.
Maybe I need to use the whole kidney thing, like my scar. Yeah. I got to stretch out because I got a scar. There you go.
I went out with a couple of guys to the Braves game on, 2 nights ago. And it was a guy that I know fairly well and a new guy. So we were doing the whole polite thing. Hey, do you want to sit in the front seat? No, you sit in the front seat. No, you sit in the front seat. And he took the back seat. And I got to tell you, I was so relieved.
You liked him even better. Like, you're like, okay, he can be in our group now.
I felt because like a little kid. I was like, yay, I get the front seat.
Now, as the driver, have you ever been disappointed by the person that ends up getting the front seat? Like, as a driver, you don't want to appoint things necessarily.
Doesn't bother
but
me.
In the back of your mind, you have.
No, because there's some comfort in knowing that you're in the front seat no matter what, because you're driving.
That's true.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
Hi.
Me and my sister, I'm 13, and my sister's 16, and we both do it all the time. What we do, though, is when we get out there, my dad will look at both of us, and we'll both just be, like, running towards the front seat. And there's been times where we've fought each other in the garage, like fist fights in the garage over the front seat.
Oh, totally. That is a very, like Bert said, it's a very coveted seat because I know I am one of three children in my family, and birthdays, like, it was known every time your birthday came around. Whatever you did that day, you always rode in the passenger seat as the kid. So I'm the youngest by far. So when I was in elementary school, my brother and sister were in high school and bullies. And so when it was my birthday, I was like cockwalking all the way into the front seat. Like, look at you. You all got a scrunch back in the back seat, 16, 18 years old. And look at me. I'm the birthday girl. I'm in the passenger seat.
Hey, Jen, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Hey, me and my friends, I'm 22 and we still do it.
Still at 20, it never goes away.
Yeah.
I think if you're 60 years old and you're driving away from the retirement home with your buddies in the car.
Shotgun! Attention, Dad!
You're still doing rock, paper, scissors to see who gets the front seat.
Yeah. Well, my friends call shotgun, we'll call challenge, and then they'll do the rock, paper, scissors, and you can challenge again. It goes on and on. I'm just like, come on, get in the car.
Oh, you know, every time you're going out on the weekend, it's a group of you, and you're walking to the car. Everybody's got that mental thing going. Okay, who's gonna get it? Exactly.
It never goes away, man.
I tried that one time when I was getting arrested. I said, shotgun, and it didn't work. Cops still put me in the back seat.
On the back no matter what.
Yeah, it was didn't work.
The Bert Show. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hits Q100 and The Bird Show. Each one of us have adopted a high school football team to watch through the entire season. And for most of the people on the show this weekend, not such a great start to the football season. There was another big game going on, especially for us in studio. It was the Wheeler and, is it Harrison?
The Hoyas, Harrison Hoyas of Kennesaw.
All right, and Phil, what was the bet that we all made on Friday?
On Friday, we made the bet, since Wheeler and the Hoyas kicked off their seasons Friday night, if the Hoyas beat Wheeler.
And you went to Harrison and intern Jen.
I'm a graduate and alum of 1997 of Harrison Hoya. If Harrison beat Wheeler, then me and one intern Jen would make out for 10 seconds on the air. Whereas if Wheeler would have beat Harrison, then I would have done an appearance and intern Jen would have gotten every penny of my appearance fee.
All right, that said. Intern Jen, what was the score of that Harrison-Wheeler game?
Can I lie?
No.
It was 18-0.
19-0.
19-0. Whatever.
And who won that game?
Harrison.
Harrison won. Have you ever seen Phil Tarana with a bigger smile on his face than he is right now?
I think it's bragging rights more than anything. And on top of that, You know, y'all all, and I wish Melissa was here for this, but y'all gave me so much crap on Friday about, oh, Jen's going to sit there and go, come sit with me for just one quarter on the Wheeler side. Come sit with me. You can ask all of my Hoyas who are out there. I was with them the entire time. Despite the monsoon downpour, I stayed on the Hoya side.
Good for
the
you.
Entire time. I only budged and I stayed on the track to walk around and greet and meet some of the Wheeler cheerleaders, and then I walked back around. Credit for that.
Yeah, he got a few phone numbers too.
Just and trying to make him jealous, make her jealous.
And while I was standing there, one intern Jen did pull the puppy dog eyes, the bottom lip out. Hey, would you come sit with me just for one quarter? Nope.
Why did you do that?
Little did he know that Jeff had sent me a text message saying if I got Phil on my side for a quarter, I got $50.
Hey, Denise, you're on all the hits Q100.
Hey, this is Denise. I just wanted to tell everybody that Phil did a great job for the Harrison Hoyas. He stayed on our side most of the time.
Most of the time.
And he was so great with the crowd. So we loved him, and we can't wait to get him back.
Did you get up and cheer and stuff?
Oh, no, I was just talking to everybody and greeting everybody and hung out with the cheerleaders.
Signing autographs.
Yes, that was, yeah, like you said, the whole, you know, felt like a rock star all of a sudden. People were really excited. And I got to thank, real quick, I got to thank Miss Gunter and everyone over at Harrison. They hooked me up with more Harrison gear Friday in 30 minutes by going back to Harrison and picking up a couple shirts. I got more gear in 30 minutes than I did for the entire 4 years I went to Harrison.
I would have to agree on that too. I need to thank some people too. Terry Henderson and Coach Center, they stocked me up with, I think I got like 15 t-shirts, water bottles, cups, towels, everything.
I need more Northview stuff, man. I need more Northview stuff. This ain't right. I'm one of the few teams in here that actually won this weekend.
See, and Bert's right. Getting competitive. She's got 15 shirts. Well, I got to have 16. Right. I need 16 Northview shirts. I'll wear them one on each arm.
All right, intern Jen, these are the parameters of the bet. It's 10 seconds, okay?
I've got my stopwatch on, so you guys can't take it any longer. I've got it set to 10 seconds already.
If you break lips at all in that 10 seconds, and that means laughing or giggling, or you break lips at all, then we restart the clock.
Oh, God.
It has to be a legitimate 10 seconds.
And I don't want any of this.
Don't screw it up because you're going to have to do this 5 times.
I don't want any of this, you know, leaning in, give grandma a kiss at the end of the visit kiss either.
What do you want?
I want you cleaning his molars.
Oh.
Internet kiss, man.
Well, since you put it that way, boy, gross. It just gets more enticing.
Now, Jeff suggested that you take your watch off and you have to try and guess when your 10 seconds is up. And if you if you break your lip lock before 10 seconds, you go all over again.
Okay. I don't know if I can count while I'm doing that, but okay.
Okay. I've got the official clock over here.
Oh, Jeff.
Don't look at me like that. This is Wheeler's fault, man. You got shut out.
I know.
I wouldn't be worried to hear the bet that I'm thinking up for Walton versus Wheeler.
Oh, God.
I feel like such an eighth grader all of a sudden. I'm red in the face. I'm nervous.
How many times do you brush your teeth this morning?
26 times.
You know what I thought that Phil would do? I thought Phil would be like, oh, you know what? I don't even want to kiss. I don't even want if it's going to be like that. Like, I thought he would come in.
Not
like,
a chance. Are you kidding me? Like
he's got to get it how he can.
Yeah, I'm happy anyway I can get it. I do know she's nervous, so I just want to do this and get it over with, and hopefully somebody will laugh and we'll have to do it and get it over with again.
So. All right, producer Tracy. You got the digital camera?
Wait, we're doing it now?
Oh, yeah. We're doing it right now, sister. It's going down right now.
We can
right
go to commercials or something.
Right now, right here, right now, okay?
Well, we can take a practice run through the commercials and then come back and do it live if you want to.
You
want to
do a 30-second kiss before we get into the legitimate 10-second one?
No.
Let's do this.
Where?
What do you mean where?
Phil, this is where you take the lead, honey.
Yeah, man.
All right. I even took my glasses off because she's always saying she hates me wearing my glasses.
All right, I got the official clock over here, y'all.
I love it.
And intern Jen, once again, you break lips, we start all over again.
Damn. Phil, it's your turn now, buddy.
Go all make right it happen, boy. Don't get up in there.
All right, y'all say.
Get it. Can you play the music again?
Yeah. Y'all say go.
Three, two,
they're like eighth graders.
One.
Into it, man.
Kiss.
Oh, it started. Oh.
Hold on. Stop kissing. Hold on. Seriously.
Why?
The batteries in the camera died.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
We got to get new batteries for the camera.
Oh, come on now.
You did it on purpose, Jeff.
No, I didn't. I really didn't know they were dead.
Oh, God.
So just... That was only 5 seconds, so you own five more. Right?
Oh, no.
Get batteries for the... And I am impressed with Phil Taranta going both hands to the back of the head and
well,
bringing her in.
You know she's
going
to try to escape.
I was locking her in. You couldn't see I had my her ankle was locked in mine, too.
You so gotta get her to a full Nelson, man.
Jen is beat red right now.
Well, we had to break, beat so we got to start all over again with 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys. You're
you
welcome,
this,
Phil.
I got here at 4:30 this morning and changed all the batteries and all the digital cameras.
All right. So can we get batteries here in the next couple of minutes?
We'll try.
Oh, we gotta wait.
We'll do what we can.
All right, Phil, intern Jen, let's do this.
Sorry about the first
again
time, guys.
Again,
really, Jeff, I don't appreciate that at all. Mm-hmm. Not at
yeah
all.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeez.
And once again, for those of you that weren't listening, this is the payoff to the Harrison and Wheeler bet. Intern Jen went to Wheeler, and they lost to Harrison this weekend, and they had a side bet going on. That
no, you guys had the bet. We didn't make this bet. You guys made it up.
And Wheeler lost to Harrison, so intern Jen owes Phil Taranta 10 seconds of a lip lock right here.
So we can start at the 5 seconds that are left, right?
No.
No.
Start over.
And again,
start
if over. if you break lips because you're laughing or giggling or whatever, it starts all over again.
Okay.
All right? Go get her. Go get her, boy. Go get her.
Phil's flipping the hat around backwards so the bill doesn't get in the way.
Hey, Phil, can we get a thumbs up?
He's swaying.
Intern Jen, can we get a thumbs up?
Go get him, man.
Three, two, one,
go.
Kiss.
Damn,
that's
like
a good one.
Oh, they both got their hands like on each other's back of the head. Yeah, that was 15. I forgot.
Yeah! Woo, I think Jen needs a pregnancy test. Like, did you?
Yeah, a little more sensual than I thought it was going to be. I'm a little on the uncomfortable side of this thing.
Uh-huh.
Producer Tracy, did you get a good picture?
Oh,
yes.
Up on the website later on at allthehitsq100.com.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.